This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, here we are. It is day after Memorial Day, so it's Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday because if you tuned in yesterday, you got the wonderful opportunity to hear an awesome rerun from last week, which was a really informative show about school finance and a whole lot of things, not only about Wisconsin school funding, but about school funding trends nationally. Dr. Saldana on there, the WPEN, Heather, awesome guests. And we have Tim still cross-country trekking with his family, with his daughter. They're headed out for that wonderful educational opportunity of her summer internship out in Wyoming. I'm sure when he hops back on the mics with us this week, he will have tons of awesome stories. So listener, tune in for some fun from Tim when he gets back. But again, on a repeat, back by, and I kid you not, popular demand, because the comments were off the charts Friday when we had producer Anya and sound engineer slash producer Jess with us both, kind of all three of us having a show on Friday. And so, you know, producer Anya is like the autopilot or the brains behind the hot air that is the show that Tim and Johnny spit out there. But we got to have a little more Anya, a little more Jess, and a lot more conversation, especially around how we feel, or in particular, how young people in schools feel. Not that Anya and Jess are token representatives of every young person in this country, but certainly if we're going to have a discussion about how youth feel, you know, it ought not just be Dr. Johnny Lupinacci rambling on about these youth. Let's have a conversation of all of our experiences, and especially Anya and Jess, not only as closer to our youth, but I kind of consider you in the youth bracket.
I appreciate
how you
that.
Both doing, Anya and Jess.
I'm doing good. Hearing that I'm part of the youth bracket makes me feel a little bit better. Jess, how about you? How are you doing down here in the youth zone?
It's nice to be called a youth again.
Yeah, I said recently at a bar, I was like, it's nice to still get carded. So that's kind of where I'm at. So yeah, coming off a great Memorial Day weekend, Jess and I kind of genuinely kept the conversation from our last show going, had a lot of talk about our feelings and bumper stickers you've seen and Jess has seen about feelings and what we're going to do over this summer and into next school year regarding feeling our feelings potentially or doing something with them.
Listener, if you didn't get to catch Friday's show, it's a banger of a show. You should loop it back around, grab the podcast, you know, or grab it off the Civic Media site and give it a listen. It was creative magic happening. You know, we were just in the cut talking about things. We had great callers. That reminds me, listener, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842. Join us here. We are Educated Educators Talking Education. This is Busted Pencils. So Friday was awesome, but we got into it because, you know what, we were talking about the week and we were talking about how young people experience schools. And I'll include in that teachers too. So just humans experiencing the learning environments that we, you know, call our schools and that we hold accountable to, where we learn to be humans together, where we learn to be in community, where we learn to work towards a common good. All those ideals are actualized in our schools. But yet the backdrop to that is that it is sadly not a lot of students feel, one, engaged, respected, or safe in that environment. And so we got into that a little bit and I was like, well, come on, how shocking would that be given the fact that I can't, you know, go on a walk or go out for a drive or commute to work without catching at least one bumper sticker or flag that tells me what to do with my feelings. And you know, I'm not much for censorship, but you know, like, come on, do I really need to see F my feelings everywhere? And in fact, even though I'm being a little bit of a softy about that, some may even say, listen to that snowflake Johnny Lupinacci talking about his feelings. But really, I think it's indicative of a larger problem. This idea that like our feelings, one, don't exist or shouldn't exist, or even third, worse, don't matter. And in fact, we talked about a little bit of the irony in terms of like, you're telling us or the general public or whoever to F their feelings, but yet you saying that is an expression of your feelings. So you're basically saying like, your feelings don't matter. Mine do. I'm having a giant mantrum. Usually it's a man, although I shouldn't reserve it only for that particular identifying gender, because we're seeing it spread. Like, I'm shockingly sometimes passing these vehicles and I'm like, what? There are kids in this car with the big F feelings flag on the back of it. Like, and I am far from what one might consider a conservative. And here I am being like, what in the world are we doing? Putting the F word on a flag. You know, like yeah. This is, I feel like my world has been flipped around, because I absolutely think freedom of expression is really important. Well, the message here, though, I thought, wow, you know what? It's really problematic, because Jess, both you and Anya were chopping it up with us and talking about, you know, like how important it is to be attuned and able to identify. I think you were saying like find your feelings, feel your feelings, be able to communicate. I think some even consider that called like a emotional intelligence. Or like I like an emotional awareness, or being in tune with how we feel and how that affects ourselves and those around us, and then finding that resonance together. So we were on at something on Friday. We'll pick it back up today. But reminder, callers out there, 855-752-4842. If you want to join Jess, Anya, and myself, come on, give us a call. Shoot us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. This is Busted Pencils, Fully Education Talk. And we're here tonight. So Jess and Anya, tell us, you know, kind of, you said you talked about this all weekend. So tell us a little bit, like, how did the conversation extend from Friday into the weekend? And what were y'all talking about?
So we'll get into that. But first things first, we have a comment from Sherry saying hello. Hello, Sherry. Lovely to hear from you. So yeah, we've been talking about this all weekend. We were talking about just how powerful it was for us to get on air as two young women and to talk about our feelings, because there is not a lot of that. As much as people are like, well, these women, they're always talking about the soft stuff. They're always talking about their feelings. It's like, yeah, and what?
You got to cut. Yeah. Is there a criticism at the end of that? Yeah, no, there isn't. It came about initially. I was relaying to Jess a conversation I had with my partner, where he even expressed, listening to the episode, he was like, well, I like both you guys, of course, you're both friends of mine, but it was so exciting to hear the voices of two young women speaking back and forth. And we even used the phrasing that comes from film and TV, which is the Bechdel test, the idea that, and this of course comes from lesbian representation, that there are so few women in media, and much less so few women who love other women in media, that the Bechdel test is, well, did that piece of media have two different women who both had names who talked about something other than a man? And a lot of great films don't pass that test. So it was exciting to be part of an episode of radio that did pass the Bechdel test, and also had a lot of great places, I think, for us to go to talk about where are women's voices, where are young people's voices, and where are the voices of people who don't say F your feelings, the people who say, you know, we have to work through our feelings if we're ever going to do anything about changing the facts of our situation, and whatever our situation is, if that's Wisconsin or a school or our world. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about a bit on Friday. It's not facts over feelings. It's not facts or feelings. It's facts and feelings.
Of course.
And so when we were talking about, it's not F your feelings, we were playing around with that a little bit, and we're like, what about F with your feelings?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's parlance that comes from people my age, but also people younger than me. I hate to break it to you guys, but the kids, they know about the swear words already. I don't know how it happened. But who would have taught them that? But you'll hear kids say something to the extent of like, oh, that musical artist, I F with that. So to say, like, can you F with your feelings? Can you at least be on the side of knowing you have feelings, knowing it's okay? And from there, where do we go? You want to mess around? You want to, you know, work on, I don't want to feel this way anymore, whatever it is. We have to start from, hey, get in there and like mess with your feelings and figure out what you're even feeling before you bring it to not before you bring it to the classroom, but even when it's in the classroom, before we try to do something like, okay, now we got to learn algebra, we have to learn Am I even able to learn algebra right now? Am I able to be in a classroom and be a good member of that classroom and a good and being ready to learn yourself? Yeah.
You just said something, Anya, about I don't want to feel this anymore.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In order to know that, yeah. You need to know what it is you're feeling.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, I don't feel good. Mm-hmm, I don't mm-hmm. like how I'm feeling. I want to feel a different way. It's like, okay, what are you feeling?
Yeah. What are you going through you want to get away from? And is it something to get away from or something to work through? It's the flow chart. The feelings flow chart is maybe something we need to develop too. But it's just this idea of too many classrooms never even open that first question of how are you, comma, and I mean it. How like where are you at? And I'm going to listen to the answer and change what I'm doing based on it. Yeah, it's revolutionary, and I think it's going to lead to a revolutionary change in education where we actually see kids learning stuff because they can, you know. So
I love it. I love that, and what an inspiring conversation, and what an honor to have you both sharing it with us here on Busted Pencils. Listener out there, if you're listening, you got Anya, Jess, and Johnny. We got an episode on Friday that passes the Bechdel test, which, geez, is that still rare these days? It is.
Yes, unfortunately.
And it ought not to be, so let's be that change. 855-752-4842. Send us a comment. Give us a call. We'll have you on. But I love this. And before we cut to break, we got a couple minutes before the segment ends. But before we cut to break, you know where you can go if you're in Madison to exercise whatever kind of sharing of ideas or being in a safe place together, having these conversations about feeling your feels, finding your feels, all the F's, right? To F with the Minocqua Brewing Company. We got Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. Join the conversation. Jess, Anya, Johnny, when we come back. And we are back with a banger of a song, just on the boards, always nailing it. Love that song, Wolves. Also love Wolves and how thematically appropriate the Tim and his daughter making their way across the country from Wolf Country. Man, I love that more and more parts of our United States are becoming Wolf Country, you know. But I'll tell you what, wolves, some of my most favorite animals and one of the longest multi-species relationships with humans. Right? One of the first and longest. So we could throw down on that any day. Love that tune, Wolves. Love what it brings and the energy that it brings. Speaking of that energy, though, if you'd like to join the energy, get on the wave with us here. We got Tim joining us always, but a special guest today because he's cruising across the country. But you can call us 855-752-4842 and join the combo. But Tim, we got to bring you back up to speed. I know you've probably been listening, and we want to F with our feels, our feelings. So we have had an amazing conversation on here. Jess and Anya laying it down, right? And then educators amplified last night, just dropping wisdom. Boom, my mind was blowing. They were doing their thing, teaching teachers and talking shop about logic and emotion, right? And reason and neuroscience. Tim, what do you think about this whole we're effing with our feels?
Man, I tell you what, just listening to it, get the feelings, the logic, the conversation to it, and Jess and Anya, such, you know, awesome stuff to bring to the show. Again, Educators Amplified, love the always with Hallie and Teacher Joanna are bringing. But, you know, the idea, too, to help people recognize that, you know, hey, you know, go back there and get yourself straight so you can start to pay attention and learn. The reality that you guys put that together are going like, wait a minute. They're not going to, if we don't F with our feelings, if we don't feel our feelings and deal with them, we ain't doing any learning. And that ability to bring that forward is so powerful that you guys do. Really appreciate that. Johnny, wolves, I think it was the only animal, though, we didn't see while we were out here. We saw every other animal you could. We just didn't see any wolves, though.
Oh, you didn't see any wolves, but did you hear them?
No? Yeah, I don't know if I heard them, but I tell you, we just, yeah, we might have been sleeping. It's a long time. But no, I tell you, you know, feelings, the whole idea of really getting in touch and knowing that, you know, the way somebody's feeling is going to deeply interact with the way, what you say, even if you're just saying academics, schools are for academics. Well, if the emotions aren't right, the academics aren't going to land. And for you guys to talk about that so clearly and so powerfully the last week has been amazing. And then, Johnny, that interview you did, too, with the reporter, or you talked about with gun violence and just the whole idea. I mean, I have some, you know, some things we talk about here, but the reality of feeling anxious about gun violence, that is something I can talk to you more and more about because, you know, on the conversation and on the trip with my daughter, she shared with me her real feelings about school safety and guns and violence. And the reality is that she feels very, very unsafe. And she's graduated high school now for 3 years, and she still remembers how unsafe that made her feel.
Powerful, yeah. And that's been sort of the theme. So one of the things is when you just have a conversation about this and step back a little, for Tim, you and I, who often are in the facts, and we layer in the feels, but, you know, we are, you know, researchers, we're educators, we're, you know, professorial about that, even though we're blue-collar scholars. We're also distant from it. By and large, we went to school in a different time and even taught at a time when I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm in schools, but in a different role. And I can't imagine, you know, feeling safe. And then so many young people, I hate to talk about young people, especially when they're right here with us, but like, are saying over and over, yeah, we don't feel safe. Like, it's just matter of fact. And there are some real concrete reasons.
And it doesn't matter, as you say, it doesn't matter the rationality and the logic of explaining still, again, statistically, how safe they really are. That doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then we had said, you know, commitment without currency is counterfeit. It's like, okay, you keep telling us there's a problem, but do something about it already. Do something. Make some change and make things better. We got a text from Josh from Oshkosh. Josh, yeah, he said, once you see Crazy Horse and see the history, Mount Rushmore loses some awe. Definitely. I couldn't agree more. And the Crazy Horse Memorial is really cool, man. That is worth stopping to see, too. So awesome things across our country and great. It's John from Oshkosh. My bad. I just misread that. Sorry, John. My bad. John from Oshkosh. I read Oshkosh and mixed up the letters and saw Josh from Oshkosh, but it's John, our guy in Oshkosh. What a dude. I'm glad he's sort of resonated that too. When you know the history, it's fascinating to cross the country. We could get into it over and over, man, especially as civics teachers, as social studies guys. And I became fascinated at a certain point, like talking and learning about the change and the landscape in our country via the railroads, right, and the further colonization across this country. And you really see it, you really feel it when you visit a lot of the places that we're often going to. So Tim, man, super cool that you and your daughter are not only on that trip, but joining us for the special show tonight. Appreciate that. So I'm thinking now, you know what, Tim, like, what are some of your thoughts? Do you have more thoughts about that? So that's right, for listeners who haven't gotten a chance to listen, back to the past episode. Last week, I had a great conversation with a legislative reporter. And she was putting together an article. She's a journalist, putting together an article about what did I think and what were educators thinking about in response to a report that came out in the state of Washington, and it comes out in other states too, in some various format that say we have an increased number of incidents that are related to either violence or involving a weapon. And so that further got broken down into like incidents with knives, incidents with firearms, right? And the result of that. But Tim, I'm just thinking, like, for me, my gut reaction was like, I'm not surprised. Although it's sad, it's something I'm not surprised by. And I think it's part of a larger conversation around not only access to guns, but the way guns are so ingrained, and it's a myth ingrained into our culture that we're unsafe, and a response to that unsafety is having a gun or having a weapon with you. And what we know statistically is that that's not true. But then teacher Joanna dropped a mind-blowing thing on me, and she's like, well, Johnny, remember, when our emotion is overacted, like if we're in fight or flight, a response can be like we're emotionally activated and we're not in touch with naming those emotions. And especially if we're young, like the teacher Hallie was talking about, our neuroscience, our brains aren't developed fully in the frontal cortex until after the age of 28. So we're working from a place where our emotions can override our logics, right? And that we can even know better. Like, as we could tell young people, you're not safer if you have a weapon, but their emotions say, I'm unsafe, I'm afraid, and out of fear, I'm going to arm myself. And I have to think, Tim, that arming ourselves is part of a larger cultural myth. That's my take. Like, how do we look at our community and say, how can we make not only one another feel safer, but children in our communities?
Well, I think we have to, though, even though, again, I know the emotions rule this, but we have to give people the sense of, you know, as you said, the mythology, the good guy
and
the gun.
And when we come back. Back from the break, and I think Jess is queuing up Breaking Benjamin for us tonight, throwing us a little change up in the music. Oh, this is Linkin Park. A little out of my, again, remember, a little out of my, I talked about a generational gap in my music. So, you know, thanks for the shift and the change. Love it. We are back from the break, though. And if you'd like to give us a call, 855-752-4842, here with Educators Amplified. Mind blown. Of course, it makes sense. You know, like Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna have saying, Educators Amplified have been about this. It's not just a little thing over there. You know, they've been really working closely with the neuroscience, with the learning theory, with the science of what's going on to help us better educate kids and kids to learn, and recognizing the whole development, the whole child. Mm-hmm. In that, and the diversity of ways in which children's needs are met together in a learning community or a classroom. And again, how hard that is often to do in schools, because schools just seem so resistant to actually, mm-hmm. you know, cultivating or supporting spaces where teachers can both learn about that and practice it. And boom, mind blown. You know, we have those moments where it all just comes into focus. When Teacher Joanna was sharing that statement about logic and emotion, and you talked about, I think you said, like, flip your lid, and you had you had a language. Can we go back to that statement? Because, oh, mind blown. That logic and emotion. Can you share that again?
Yeah, I was going to say that was one of my favorite things to talk about with students. So I'll do my little spiel because I love it so much. So right. Basically, like, some of you can see me, but I'm going to do my, I know that I'm on the radio. So let's see how good I can explain this. You know, something that Joanna and I always loved was neuroscience is like big, hard, intricate, layered things. And so we really tried to be like, how can we make it, you know, tangible, accessible to students and even adults that we were working with. And so one thing that we would talk about is the concept of flipping your lid. And so if you make a fist with your thumb inside your four fingers, that's essentially like your brain. And so if you're looking at like the front part of your knuckle, like the finger part, like the pad in front, not where a ring would go, but right below it. That would be like your prefrontal cortex part of your brain, which is like right behind your forehead. So if I, you know, could peel back my forehead, you'd see my prefrontal cortex. And then your little thumb that's tucked inside, that's like your amygdala. So the prefrontal cortex is where you have, that's where your logic is. That's your reasoning. That's like the part of your brain that's like, I think I'm going to do this. And then thinks like, is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? You know, like that consequential thinking. Fun fact, it doesn't fully develop as far as I know until you're 28. So the fact that kids are doing impulsive things is like, so like, duh. So like, right, bringing more weapons to school, you're like, yeah, their prefrontal cortex isn't there to help them or fully there. But then, and then that amygdala, so your thumb, is like just that reptilian brain, that like fight, flight, or freeze, just pure emotion. And so when you're in situations, and so how we would talk about it is when we wanted students to feel regulated, it's like your brain is that fist where your prefrontal cortex is connected to that amygdala, and you're making decisions together with your emotions from the amygdala and from your logic from your developing prefrontal cortex, and that's how you strengthen it. Well, when overwhelming amounts of stress, which depends on the student or depends on the person's experience, you literally flip your lid. So it's almost like if you just flung your fingers, four fingers up, and it's almost like you're showing the number four, but you still see your amygdala. That's your logic leaving and your amygdala, your emotion taking over. And so that's what we would talk about. Like that's that fight, flight, or freeze. That's when those feelings feel, you know, I have a 7-year-old at home. So that's when I talk about that's your big emotions. And like, that's when it's just overwhelming and it's a lot. And then we would talk about how oftentimes you hear about mindfulness and breathing and how important that is. And people are like, la-di-da, like whatever. But scientifically, like literally biologically, the only way for your amygdala and that prefrontal cortex to connect back together is through oxygen. And right? How do we get oxygen? We get it through breathing. So that's why we do the deep breathing and teach those things in schools when we can, because literally that is just brain science. And so to me, when kids, you know, when we would be sitting and we would be talking about these concepts, I mean, right, it just clicks. Like kids are like, yeah, okay. You know, and it isn't like, you know, like, so now let's practice the 4-part breath square breathing or whatever it's called. You know, it's more they're like, okay, now I know this background information. And in those moments, if I can find a way to breathe, I'll breathe. You know, like, and it wasn't just like, because someone taught me the 4-part square breath, or I'm totally butchering it, but you get it. Mm-hmm. Students had that power, that onus, that like, just that knowledge that really allows them to be like, okay, and that's my brain. That's everyone's brain. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that there's mini lesson from Teacher Hallie about.
Well done, Teacher Hallie. Right. And listen, if you're out there and you want to join, 855-752-4842. Wow. Again, the phrase, the knowledge, the wisdom that Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are sharing tonight, and they're teaching on fire. Mm-hmm. I love it. Jess, you put in the, well, we got Jim from Appleton text, zero tolerance rules are intolerable. First offense is when teaching begins. Jim, I couldn't agree with you more. In that conversation, so to loop back in the conversation with the reporter, we were talking about incidents and we were looking at the numbers of how many incidents were also dealt with. And we got into the discussion of like dealt with, you know, meant responded in the form of expulsion or suspension or consequence. And again, I was saying all forms of all behavior is a form of communication. Mm-hmm. So I applaud schools that respond are empathetic and firm. And zero tolerance rules, I think, like, I agree with you, Jim from Appleton. Zero tolerance, like, if we're punishing kids for making mistakes without working on that teaching part, or where that, like, first offense is where the teaching begins, where we learn why, the why and the what, and we help get to that. Like Teacher Hallie was saying, they're supposed to be kids. I'm terrible with the neuroscience, so I'm going to say the front part of my fist, right? That isn't developed until 28 years old, right? So again, reality check for our schools. we need to have it. It's not anything goes. You can't bring a weapon to school.
No,
but we gotta understand why. And I applaud when we do we do consequences that are not punitive, but they're disciplinary. Mm-hmm. And by disciplinary, I don't mean ruin a kid's life, punish them, harm them, make them cruel. Find out why, and let's learn together. Teacher Joanna, hop in there.
Well, that's where we haven't caught up. And that's where when I started, I said, Hallie and I were really clear on this. And we designed systems around this. Because, right, when kids don't know how to read, we teach them how to read. When kids don't know math, we teach them how to do math. When kids don't, quote unquote, behave, we punish and exclude. So just here, right there. But that's how the system's designed. And so there are a lot of people like myself and Hallie and others who are working on that. How is it teaching side, you know, and how is it just part of things and not, again, viewed as separate, because it's not separate from yourself. It's connected. But can you hear in how I explain that? Like school, like I said, we think these are the things we teach. And they're really subject concrete oriented. And then the things that we assume are actually the very complex, integrated, internal aspects of ourselves. And so, right, when it gets to safety in school, yes, there are like these hard external things. But really, my experience with students, and I'm closing out my 28th year here, is that safety in school, when kids don't feel safe in school, it's psychological safety. And they're operating from their stress response. Things that they would share with us, or that would come up in, you know, some of the surveys and things, were reasons that kids didn't feel safe in school were things like just generally feeling that uncomfortable awkwardness you feel as an adolescent, bullying and harassment, not feeling accepted, feeling misunderstood. Do you hear, like, those were all even feelings? Right? Yep. Where it was like, I don't feel liked. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel comfortable. I experience, you know, maybe bullying, harassment. I experience racism. Who knows? But that was largely, you know, where kids were coming from and how they would describe their feelings of not feeling that safe. And so on one hand, I'm like, okay, sad. On the other, I'm like, oh, but this is doable. Like, yeah. Hello, we're regulated, educated adults. We can, professionals in teaching, we can help with this.
I know. It just makes me think, like you saying that just makes me think about how so much of our system is set up on like an adult brain, you know, or like not literally the adult, but like a fully developed brain, maybe is what I'm trying to say. as opposed to really just recognizing literally brain developmentally where children are at. Cause that even made me think about how we would tell students how from 0 to 3 years old, how much you can literally see physically, how much a human grows and changes, you know, from that 0 to 3, and people talk about the quote unquote terrible twos, but really it's just like their brain, their body is growing so rapidly that like it's just like trying to catch up. But the same kind of rapid growth happens in teens too. But yet it's more, I mean, there is the puberty and you can see that, but it's a little bit slower, but or like you don't see it as quickly from 0 to 3, but so much is happening in their brains. And yet in schools, we're like, all right, so we'll like jump into this, but it will just be on the academics. Like, we'll like go with them with the brain growth, but just in math and reading, not on like, right? Like acknowledging that like a huge part of being an adolescent is feeling left out, is feeling misunderstood, is feeling awkward, you know, but like.
It's your social development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. But yet we're just like, well, we got to prepare you for when you're an adult, you know?
Like, well, we got to treat you like you're one already. And that's how you're going to learn it. Because we're going to punish you as though you were fully developed in all four. You talk about the four domains of learning. Like we're just going to hold you accountable for, even though your child and the science is telling us you're not, developed in these ways yet. And we're supposed to teach you and help mm-hmm. you develop. We're going to hold you accountable as though you were plus 28 plus years old and fully supported in physical, intellectual, social, and emotional needs. Mm-hmm. You know, the mm-hmm. other thing that comes up, and it's come up a little bit like tangent to our discussion, and we've brought it up a few times, and I know that both you, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, refer to this. So I'm hoping it's going to probably take us up to the break, and then when we come back, we could talk a little bit more about it. But this thing, emotional intelligence.
Mm.
Like, since we've been talking about feels and all this stuff, yeah, I can tell. Yeah. So, I know, like, I think people have referred to it before. It's EQ or emotional.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I would love for us to just have a little mini lesson as we're effing with our feels and talking about feels and facts and feelings. And, you know, you gave us a powerful lesson on logic and emotion and, you know, flip your lid. And I love that. Leave us tonight. We'll come back and we'll be talking about EQ, emotional intelligence, with two expert educators who talk about that all the time. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, if you want to call in and join us, 855-752-4842, Busted Pencils, when we come back. And we are back, fully leaded education talk, Busted Pencils. Dr. Johnny here, got Dr. Tim Slecker on the phone. We'll get to Tim in just a moment. Caller Joanne, last segment, you know, brought up, you know, the importance of restorative justice, of rehabilitation. You know, as myself, as an abolitionist, you know, I don't think our criminal injustice system fixes this stuff. And often cases makes it worse. And so what kind of I was getting at the end of that sentiment is, you know, I would, when we talk rehabilitation or, you know, restoration, I really agree with Joanne, like an apology, and not an apology for, you know, getting caught. That's one of the worst kinds of apologies we could ever do, you know, when we've done wrong, but a true apology in terms of, here's the ways I've caused harm. Here's the ways I've perpetuated. And so for me, I don't expect it. I don't, you know, I don't hold hope that Donald Trump has this kind of turn, you know, but in general, I don't want to slip into the absolutism of saying, you know, like if you're convicted of a felony, there's no hope for you. I hold little to no hope for Donald Trump, because with given plenty of opportunity to say, hey, I've done some real harm. You know, I've perpetuated really hurtful things. You know, I've advocated for harming not only a democracy, but people in that democracy. And there isn't a democracy without the diverse people that constitute it. And I want to give big props to caller L.A. Tom, too. L.A. Tom, and thanks for calling in, but also thanks for sharing that realization, too, right? That, like, congratulations on 20 years with your husband and also 7 years of marriage. Just want to emphasize that 20 years together, 7 years married. My guess, and I'm making a hunch, and I'm not asking you to call in and share more of your personal life, right? That's up to you to have. But I appreciate that you did share it, because it's a reminder for folks out there that I doubt that L.A. Tom and his husband waited, you know, 13 years to get married. They were not allowed to be married for a majority of that 20 years they've been together. That's also something that when I'm, you know, when I'm held accountable to children and my children's children, that I hope voters out there realize, like, the world is changing. We are acknowledging people in different ways and that they matter and that they value how they feel. Again, we're effing with our feelings here on Busted Pencils, how they feel, how they love, who they choose to do that with. And, you know, and in essence, not harming anybody, right? Like bringing positive generative contributions to a rich democracy. And the fact that formally acknowledging that in something like marriage was illegal for most of my life is absolutely ridiculous. The fact that young women, right? I have daughters that I need to be the kind of voter that's setting precedent and being held accountable to the fact that right now their reproductive rights are not only under attack, but really seriously threatened. I never thought in my lifetime we'd be faced with this. And I talked to doctors, I talked to nurses, I talked to people from all across the political spectrum who are in shock that we are at this day and age, right, making kinds of laws and rolling back progress to harm women, to harm people who identify differently in our community. It just doesn't seem like something a healthy democracy would be doing. So, Tim, we got you on the phone. Tim, you want to hop in here? You want to get part of the conversation as we close out Busted Pencils on this fine Thursday?
Absolutely. First thing I wanted to tell you was I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. Is that a good apology?
No, but it's funny.
I'm sorry. Wait, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I, you know, you think about that, the apology. Yeah, he's not going to do that. He's not going to have any accountability. John, I like how you connected the whole idea of saying, you know, does he have the ability to, you know, have any rehabilitation? Our justice system, no, it's not about a rehabilitation system. I don't know, though, that this person is really ever going to be rehabilitated, because I would say the biggest thing, you know, I wouldn't have, the more and more I've thought about this trial, I don't think I would have pressed charges. I actually agree with some commentators have been saying, been better off to just, even if Biden could have just stepped up and said, it's all over. I'm giving him a pardon no matter what. And then let's make this election about ideas. Because right now, boy, I'm telling you what, I'm thinking that this actually works in Donald Trump's favor. And that, you know, as much as Tom's right, that we hope people do vote. And that when they look at their children, they can say how and who they voted for and why they didn't vote for a convicted felon or why they did. I think there are going to be lots more people now who are on that side of going, I'm going to vote for him now just because they convicted him. And that's a real concern, man.
Absolutely. And man, are we lucky to be able to be having this conversation. Jess and I on the break, we're talking about like, wow. Also, let's remember historical moment here, right? Like to break this news, you know, Jess was talking about being in the studio today when it came out. And it's an emotional moment. Fortunately, for most of us, it's emotional and a fully developed frontal cortex, as neuroscience lesson from yesterday said, like we can hold logic and emotion together. So, you know, it's an important moment. Yeah, LA Tom says, I can't believe I'm disagreeing with Tim for the first time in history. It's okay, because you know what? Sometimes we disagree, right, Jess? We have conversation for the sake of the heavens.
Healthy arguments.
Yeah, healthy arguments is part of a democracy. But you know where you can have that kind of conversation and where we can convene together, especially when we're all in Madison or if we're up north in Minocqua. You can go to the Minocqua Brewing Company, because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Tim, you still there, my guy?
Hey, you know, there it is. Who knew that Tom and I would disagree? I, you know, and I'm just coming to this realization. I don't disagree with the conviction and him being held accountable in the way, you know, the jury system, and no one's supposed to be above the law. But man, I don't know. I mean, this guy has written all the rules in a different way, and it's almost like you got to kind of play by a different rule book if you're going to beat him. And right now, it might be that actually, you know, his legal woes just continue to create more and more support for him
And I'm more frightened of another term with Donald Trump than anything. And so right now I just kind of look at this, and so any publicity he gets, to me, the people that support him even more. So
yeah, and we're probably going to have to come back to that conversation too, Tim. We got lots of texts from L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom, we'll bring you back in the fold because we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow on Busted Pencils. When we're back, listener, we love you. Check you soon.